Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Hunt joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
It's Scorch Lonely Teardrops by Jackie Wilson in honor of Ja Morant sending the Pelicans home with a teardrop floater last night.
Let's start with Cedric Howard. You've been telling people to not get ahead of themselves one way or another on Cedric Howard, and last night as he was doing what he was doing, you were struggling with not to get ahead of yourself.
Yeah,
on Cedric Howard.
I mean, we have a history. Like rookies have good games, and like we all remember TNT Gigi, right? And
yes.
You know Zaire Williams and whatever. And there's a cycle of rookies do have a good moment or good stretch, and people get excited, and it's a setup for disappointment later. And there will be ups and downs with Howard, and there may just be downs. I don't know. Nothing's guaranteed. I will say that I personally feel better about him and what he's going to be. I have more confidence in him as a basketball person, I guess, than any rookie the Grizzlies have had since, you know, the Ja Morant Brandon Clark class, in terms of where I'm at with him at this stage of a career. I mean, Desmond Bane was the 30th pick in the draft. There's no reason to assume
right.
anything,
yeah.
whatever. But in terms of his skill set, his physical abilities, and his personal makeup and how all of that works in the context of NBA basketball – I just think there's a lot of good stuff there with him.
So you liked it from the, honestly, you liked the idea of him when he was drafted.
Yeah.
And then you were not discouraged by the shot missing of the preseason.
People focus way too much on three-point shots going in or not
going
in.
Yeah. So what last night, again, one night, and by the way, I did look at the all-time plus-minus debuts for rookies. Kendrick Nunn at 27 and James Singleton at 27, I think it was. So yeah, it one good I mean, night. Whatever.
Yeah, single game plus minus.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? But what did you like about last night?
I think that I've been using this phrase. I find myself using this phrase a lot with him. Functional athleticism. It's athleticism that in the context of a basketball game, there's a mobility, there's a fluidity, there's a reaction speed thing with him. In that when he gets into flow, and this was even in the preseason, right? When he was spotted up waiting to catch the ball and shoot, he missed the shots. But when he was in the flow of basketball on offense and defense, his physical ability and his reaction speed and his aggressiveness just made things happen. It happened in the preseason. It happened last night. And it's so many little things. It's finishing with contact, like taking a bump and finishing the shot. It's quick reactions to push the ball down the floor with the dribble or with the pass and confidence there. It's reacting to make a play with a steal or a block or a contest. It's just all the little stuff in the flow of the game. And I sort of have a bias towards this sort of player type, the athletic perimeter player who is disruptive, the athletic perimeter player who is active and disruptive, right? The D'Anthony Melton type, the Vince Williams pre-injury type.
Right.
He is sort of that type. He's got a higher ceiling for different reasons. But he's that kind of guy who, like, whether he's even taking shots or not, he's doing things on the basketball floor that help your team.
And he was obviously instrumental last night to the Grizzlies getting back into it. And then he was part of the, you know, finishing lineup. Like,
yeah.
He was the way he was deployed, did that, what you expected?
Well, when Landale fouled out, he came in. So they were going to close the game at that point with Ja, KCP, Wells, Coward, and to your point, that's the elective choice,
yep,
and Jaren. Did that surprise me? No, given the flow of the game and the way he was playing. Like in a vacuum, Santi would have been the obvious guy there, but Santi was having a bad game. I mean, Santi was almost a no-show last night, and Coward was a very much show. He was there, so I thought that made sense in the moment to for him to be the choice, down the stretch like that.
Urge people to read Chris's piece at the Daily Memphian and Drew's piece. You both wrote about the Zion, the moment late in the second half where it was the one that Isolo brought up.
Yeah.
What happened there?
You know, Zion's just attacking the rim as he was, and Grizzlies were struggling with it. And, it's that, as Cedric Coward pointed out, like, I'm just trying to make the shot hard. This guy's impossible to stop. So Zion could have, it's not like, he alone prevented Zion Williamson from scoring. Sometimes you don't score. But he walled up and went vertical with Zion Williamson and a strong contest right at the rim with him, and Zion missed the shot, and then in the scramble for the ball afterwards, Coward came up with it.
Yeah, and one of the points that Isolo made was that these are it really is another way. He was talking about the elite verticality, this is not it's a form of the functional athleticism. Like,
right,
he can do those sorts of things with some of the best athletes in the entire league.
Yeah, no, he is not. He is not, Zaire Williams, who's a ball of clay physically. And you wonder about, he's long, but he's also really thin. And Cedric Howard has there's growth to come with him, but athletically he's ready. He's fully ready right now.
And I think 23 looks great. He looks good. All right. So really the most promising thing that happened last night, and again, you were whatever, it's one day game, whatever.
Yeah,
was Cedric Coward the star of the show? Was Ja?
Yeah, and Ja sort of picked up. I don't know whether how much it was the defense and how much of it was him just getting more comfortable as the game went on, and how much it was him just sort of holding back and then picking his spots. But really, the second half, in the first half, he was mostly taking jump shots, mid range jump shots, 3-point shots. In the second half, he was, I'm trying to remember, he's 10 of 11 in the game, 2 of 2 in the first half, so that would be 8 of 9. He was 8 of 9 in the paint in the second half of that game. And the question of, does he still want to get to the rim? Can he still get to the rim? The answer last night, at least, was yes and yes. And in the second half of the game, when he was in the game, you felt like the Grizzlies were in control of the game.
It was also, there's just moments where he just takes a beating. Just even like
that's part of it.
One, it's just fully in control, and he did it. He was efficient.
And the jump shot stuff was like he was 2 of 6 from three, which is that's better than his career average.
Right.
He hit I remember the first shot of the game he hit was a mid range pull up, so it's not like he wasn't making jumpers, but he was more dynamic when he got into the paint.
13 of 20 overall. I thought he was playing his butt off defensively too. He was busting his ass like he has limitations.
No, he played a really good game. Now, he had 3 assists and I think 2 turnovers, which is to me that's not a him thing. That's the team framework thing. That's a signal like the team is not exactly clicking, which I didn't expect it to be.
Right.
I thought it was going to be extended preseason. I worried that's what it would be. That's what it was in the first half. And so if the team can really get into a rhythm, you're going to see games where he's going to have, double, triple, maybe quadruple that, in assists, and the team will be better in those games. But that I think that's more of a team thing than a him thing.
I like a happy Ja too, and he was certainly happy afterwards.
Yeah, he was in a good mood.
Explain what happened with Cedric Coward after the game.
So Coward, this seems to be pattern. It used to be like Jalen Wells was always the first one ready to talk, and now it looks like it's going to be Coward, at least so far it's been.
They teach him at Washington State. They teach him the right things.
So Coward was the first guy available to talk to, and he was also one of the players people most wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
There's a huge scrum around Coward, and he's doing the thing. And Ja basically, Ja will just, all the players decide when they're ready to talk, but Ja will announce, okay, I'm ready, because Ja assumes people want to talk to him, because that is a correct assumption.
Right.
And they do. Like this. So it's a public service for Ja to say, okay, I'm ready.
Ready
now
to talk.
And so Ja's on the opposite end of the locker room, and Ja gets done earlier than usual, and he says, okay, I'm ready. And people start drifting over to Ja. But some people stay with Coward, and Coward's still talking. And Ja looks up and said, is he still talking? Doesn't he know I was like
I'm doing this for him.
I'm doing this for him.
I'm doing you a favor, bro.
Right.
Yeah. And he really seemed to enjoy the moment on behalf of Cedric Howard. Like the how much that Cedric Howard was getting to enjoy this first win. So yeah. It was a happy job last night. What did you think? Isolo talked about playing him in stints, three stints a half.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I had noted, I mean, in my game notes, which I didn't even go back to look at and probably left stuff on the cutting room floor because I was too tired. But Jaren Jackson played three different stints in the first quarter. And that's something I noted in the moment. And that, you know, we'll see if that pattern continues through the season, how much that is related to like early season and you're worried about runners, guys going longer periods. But the substitution rhythm was very quick.
Yep.
He wants quick pace, and he wants quick pace in part with quick substitutions. And he sort of made the point, you know, this is helps us maintain intensity. And if you look at Ja, you have the box in front of you. I don't, but he had 35 points in 28 minutes, something like that.
Yep. 35 points in 28 minutes.
Yeah. And so like that's high production relative to, you know, like you're maximizing your impact there and your playing time. There was a moment in the third quarter where Grizz are down 11 at the half. And there was a moment in the early third where, my memory serves, I may be slightly off in this, but I think they scored three straight possessions and like two of them were Ja buckets and one was a Ja assist. And it felt like Ja was picking up a rhythm and starting to grab control of the game. And he subbed him out at that moment. And I was like, now? I mean, you kind of break in the rhythm. Right. It's happening now. But, you know, you won the game. And so maybe it was the right decision.
Interesting to watch that. Yeah, he believes in stints. And I mean, he talked about that last year, playing with pace.
No,
he can play harder. I think
it's right that can help maintain pace and intensity and energy. But I wonder about chemistry and rhythm and breaking chemistry and rhythm doing that. So I think it bears watching.
Let's move on to Jaren. Thoughts on Jaren's game?
I mean, it was a mixed bag with Jaren. You know, obviously he fouled out and he also had a lot of turnovers, but those are sort of an overlapping. There's a Venn diagram overlap there. A lot of the turnovers were the fouls. And so he fouled out and he missed all of his threes. That's the bad side of the coin. He had six blocks and he was pretty dynamic inside the arc offensively. And I think really carried the Grizzlies in that crucial third quarter stretch when they were turning the game. So I thought it was a good game overall for him.
The fouls, how many were offensive?
Three of the four in the first half were offensive, and I think both in the second half were defensive. So three offensive fouls. One was on a screen, and that's, I think, a real concern, a thing to look at, because he had, in the last preseason game, he had three fouls just setting screens in that game.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to deploy him in this new fashion.
He has not been used to doing that, and it may well be that the Grizzlies went away from using him as a screener because of the chance of him getting fouls doing it. But you're not going to get good at something unless you do it. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much they lean in or pull back from some of the usage stuff there with him.
Must have been music to your ears to hear Isolo talking about not fouling out his own players and deciding to play Jaren through the foul trouble.
The Grizzlies could have lost that game. And if the Grizzlies had lost that game, people would be upset today about how do you leave him on the court in the third quarter with the second quarter with three fouls. It's crazy. He got four fouls in the first half. And you know, he wasn't there. You lost this game, and he wasn't on the floor at the end of the game. And there's just no fighting that. They won the game, so people aren't mad about that.
Right.
But the reality is, either way, the narrative pull of the fourth quarter is so profoundly strong that no amount of logic can pierce it.
Right. Yeah.
Baskets do not count more in the fourth quarter.
As you pointed out, he had four fouls in the third quarter. He played 9 minutes.
With four fouls. He would have been sitting on the bench last year.
With four fouls. And they came into that quarter trailing by 11, and in his minutes that he played in the third quarter, this is Chris's piece in the Daily Memphian,
they won by 13. That was a crucial stretch. I know like it was still a tie game with 3 minutes to go, and Ja hits the big shot, and it feels like nothing mattered before that moment.
They only got there because of that.
But they wouldn't have been in that moment.
All right. I don't know that we expected to see Omax Prosper among the first off the bench, but he was the first off. And obviously, this is matchup specific.
Well, partly. I asked Thomas Isola that question about. I didn't reference PJ Hall and Gigi Jackson, but the inference was why Prosper over these guys. And the first thing he said was, we thought he was one of our better defensive matchups with Zion Williamson, which makes all the sense in the world when you look at the roster and you think about Zion. But then he, after that, he also said we thought he was good in the preseason with the energy and with the.
Right.
So it's not clear to me if they had been playing Indiana last night, would Prosper have been in that role instead of Hall or Jackson? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But the Zion matchup was a factor in getting him out there. That makes a lot of sense. But it also speaks well of Omax Prosper because there aren't a lot of Zions, but there are other like big ball handlers you got to try to defend. And if you have faith of him in him to play that role is going to be there in other games too.
Well, it's just what he does. Like he is a wild man offensively,
yeah.
but not in a terrifying way. A little Tony Allen quality to him Tony was really getting going. But like they wanted someone who can guard, and that's not GG Jackson.
That's a thing. I mean, is Prosper getting those minutes and Gigi getting DNP an indictment of Gigi? To some degree, it has to be because they're the same. They're the same build. They're like the same height, the same weight, the same. Right. You know, the age is not that different. You know, I mean, there are two sides of the coin. Gigi's a guy who gets buckets, but doesn't to this point do a lot else. And Prosper's a guy who does not get buckets,
right.
But does. A lot of other things.
He hits clutch free throws.
He did hit clutch free throws.
He hits clutch free throws.
And so the Gigi thing, I don't know. It's one game. We'll see. But it's one game in year three. And I feel like it would probably be better for all parties at this point if Gigi was playing on the Brooklyn Nets or Washington Wizards, getting a lot of minutes that he needs in a situation where there's not a lot of risk in getting him the minutes.
As you point out, it's not a great game for Santi. He had, when he came in,
it was a no-show game for Santi, other than a couple decent plays.
In the fourth quarter, he had a block or two that mattered. He was pretty bad.
He also had a play where he caught the ball 2 feet from the basket and hesitated, and the whole arena just yelling, score, shoot, right. Do something, and then he hesitated, and then he scored.
He finally did. That was his first bucket. I think he was 0-5 until then. And then let's just go down the roster a little bit. Javon Small and Cam Spencer.
The Javon Small minutes were sort of interesting to me for how anonymous they were. The Grizzlies were +6 when he was on the floor. They won his minutes. So clearly his presence was not killing the team.
3 assists.
Yeah. But I didn't notice him doing anything, really. I'm watching the game, and I barely noticed him on the floor.
I noticed one really quick pass to an open three for Jalen Wells. Like, he moves the ball.
So, I mean, the first do no harm, as they say. And so when you're a backup point guard who's a rookie second-round pick, the first thing is to, like, have your minutes be survivable, and his minutes were survivable. And if they can get survivable minutes from him every night, like, they'll take it, you know?
So, really, the best news was what Cedric Howard looked like, I thought. And then you had Jaren and Ja. And again, you did this with limited minutes. Like, they were good, and you got the win, even though they were playing limited minutes. I will say, like, watching it, It was like, man, there's going to be some tough games for this. Like watching the lineups, they gave up
17 offensive rebounds, which is not an anomaly, I don't think. Jock Landale, I think, is a perfectly good third string center,
yes.
And they're playing him as a starter. And I worry about that. We'll see if they add a big next week and if that big can help them at all.
He cannot finish at all.
No,
like,
and so
he just can't.
If he were in the same role. Different player, but if he were in the same role that Jay Huff was in last year, that's fine. Like, you know, you some nights you play, some nights you don't. When you play 10 minutes. That's what he should be, and that he just can't because of the Edie and Brandon Clark injuries. So I think he would be fine for the contract he's on and the role he's supposed to be in, but the injuries have pushed him into this other role, and he's just not really good enough for it, I don't think.
And then we had the NBA news. With the Chauncey Billups thing, I don't know if you've. I've seen
headlines. And I saw some weird press conference that the FBI director where he said something like, "This is the insider trading scandal of the NBA." I need more information on that. I don't know. Yeah. The thing about the Billups part of it, obviously, like NBA coach is like a big bright headline. NBA coach was a great player, but it was a poker game.
It was a poker game,
and I just don't.
Nobody cares. Who cares about a poker game?
Given all that's happening in the world, including in the world of gambling, like a private poker game that's illegal, like whatever. I don't care. You know,
I don't care at all. That's exactly the point I made. So, in the meantime, I didn't see a second of it because we were otherwise occupied at FedEx Forum. But Wemby basically ate the universe last night, and DJ Edgecombe is.
No, those were the eye-popping stat lines of the night. I mean, we haven't had a rookie, I think it was the highest-scoring rookie debut since Wilt or whatever.
Right.
So Edgecombe, some guys just pop in the pros, who, you know, more so than they did in college, and he's a guy with his athletic profile. People wondered if he would be one of those guys. So it's one game, so we'll see. And Wemby, like, it's just, it might be happening.
The text from my son, Wemby looks like the best athlete I have ever seen in any sport in my life.
No, like, there are, like, and Jokic and Embiid are a little bit different. There was a little bit more of a slow growth with Jokic than Embiid with the injury stuff, whatever. But we haven't had the like young generational big man, I mean, really since Duncan, and then you had the whole Shaq and Olajuwon era. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had that kind of guy, and he looks like he's that guy.
Anything else strike you from the show? Anything different last night from the, you know, from the show perspective, from the scene?
Very, very subtle thing that I don't know how many people enjoyed, but I enjoyed. They used this Jay-Z song on the opening video, and the line, I'm the CEO of the ROC, which was the Rockefeller Records company, but also basketball. The basketball is the rock. Uh-huh. He timed the I'm the CEO of the ROC to John Morant whipping a pass, and I enjoyed that edit to the music. So shout out to Michael Blevins for that moment. I thought the throwback uniforms looked good. The throwback court looked good. The other trappings, I mean, it was all fine, but it was not. It was sort of, you know, the rapper leads them out. We've seen this before, so yeah. It was fine.
And you missed Carla.
I miss Carl. Sometimes nature calls at the wrong time. And, like, no offense to Shinedown, but I wish I had timed it to see Carla and then go to the bathroom because, you know, Carla Thomas is a queen.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciating Reed's piece at the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, do we have any idea what we're giving away as a prize for Writer Than Right Trivia?
Jeff, we will be giving away, we got a double prize today. We will be giving out a Dugout mug. So if you're curious about those, you can go to dugoutmugs.com. Essentially, it's a local product from Randall Thompson, and what he does is he turns baseball bats into tumblers, shot glasses, anything. Also, it's a mug. So Brad Carson will be giving that away, and then Kevin is throwing in 4 tickets tonight to go see Marcus King. It's at Grayson Live, but that concert is again tonight. But it's 4 tickets Grayson to go see Marcus King.
All right, so the phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. If you want to play Right of the Night Trivia, best Jeffrey. And because the Grizzlies are 1-0, we will take caller number 1. 445-0929. We'll do that when we return. Kevin Cerita will join us. It is the Jeff Conklin Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Kevin Cerita, rejoined by Kevin Cerita. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Great to be back. I take last week off. I'd go out of town. It was my dad's 90th birthday.
Well, that's okay then. I think that's acceptable.
So excused absence. Excused absence.
Yeah, excused absence. And Jeffrey,
that's a PTO. That's not a vacation.
Jeffrey said that my questions were better than usual.
Yes.
So
he really stepped it up.
So there you go. He didn't say they were better than yours, just better than usual. So where are you folks this week?
Well, we still have been having a lot of stuff going on. We've got our 2 new trivia venues rolling now. We're, of course, at Max's Sports Bar downtown, which if you have not checked out their new indoor-outdoor patio, I mean, it really has become the best place to watch games in Memphis is downtown at Max's. You're surrounded by televisions. It's awesome. Jeffrey, you got to check it out. You're going to love it down there at Max's. And then we're at Leonard's in Cordova, which is in the old Abner's in front of the Cordova movie theater. I was hosting there this week. We had an awesome crowd. They got $2 off apps, but we've combined – You find, like, for some reason, there's never been, or at least hasn't been recently, a place to play trivia Andy Barbecue in Memphis. So I'm so excited that now you can get your barbecue fix there with us at Leonard's. Test what you know while you eat the food that the city is known for right there at Leonard's there in Cordova. So I'll be back there again next Tuesday as we kick off spooky season. Festivities really shift into gear tonight. We've got Spooky Music Bingo at Laughlin Yard, and we got it all next week at every venue. Plus, our annual Trick or Trivia Spooktacular is right around the corner as well. So much going on. SerenaEntertainment.com. Find out where you can play for free somewhere tonight and every night.
So our prize just keeps getting better, Jeffrey. Is that right?
Indeed, Jeff. So we now have a triple prize, also thanks to Kevin. We will have two tickets to see Yes, That Is Friday night's show at Graceland Live. Kevin is throwing in four tickets to go see Marcus King. That's tonight's show at Graceland Live. Plus, we have, courtesy of Brad Carson, a fabulous dugout mug. It's a beautiful baseball bat tumbler. It's pretty cool.
All right, and we're joined by Lee in Bartlett. Lee, how are you?
I'm doing very well,
sir. Good. Well, best of luck. I'm not going to congratulate you. That would be premature. Best of luck, and I'm handing things over to Kevin.
Yeah, we got a pro tip now. If you listen to the show, if the show starts and Jeffrey's like, I'm not sure what the prize is, it could just be an amazing amount of stuff. We ended up with a triple prize.
That's when Jeffrey just starts firing off text messages.
Right. All right. We got a triple prize today. Of course, this is Right or the Right Trivia. Your job is to try to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you win. You just got to play fair, though. Play honorably, and you'll walk away with a triple prize pack today. A rare occasion here. Almost as rare as Jeffrey losing. So I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whichever one you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. He can steal from you one time, and vice versa. As we cue up the music. Let's go. Let's get to it. Your first category today is food or drink?
Food, please.
Food. What processed food calls itself, quote, the snack that smiles back?
Snack that smiles back. Processed food. No clue, man.
The snack that smiles back. Jeffrey, do you enjoy the snack?
Yeah, I'm gonna steal goldfish.
That is goldfish. That is correct.
Of course.
Point snack? What's the
for phrase? Jeffrey.
They have a smile. Goldfish have a smile.
What's the phrase exactly?
The snack that smiles back.
That smiles back. Yeah. They do have a little smile right there in the fish. Jeffy's a goldfish guy. Did you actually sell goldfish?
I did not sell goldfish. One of my dad's good friends did. But I flavor blasted goldfish, make the world go round.
All right, Jeffrey takes Jeffrey takes a 1-0 lead.
Let's go to drink. Jeffrey, what beer brand has overtaken Modelo as the best-selling beer in the United States?
Really?
We're in an interesting era. Like, you know, we get different NBA champions every year now, and we've got a new beer. We're getting new beer champions every year. It's wild.
All right. Modelo. I remember I think I'm going to go Mick Ultra.
You are correct. Michelob Ultra is at the top now.
Beer and goldfish. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey's sweet spot here. It's 2-0. Back to Lee.
The reality TV or scripted TV?
Scripted TV.
Scripted. What actress from such series as The Newsroom and The Daily Show is married to comedian John Mulaney?
Oh, shoot. Say that again, please.
What actress from such series as The Newsroom and The Daily Show is married to comedian John Mulaney?
Oh, dang it. John Mulaney. Man, I'll tip my tongue, but I don't have it.
You picked the right category because I would have known this one.
Olivia Munn. Yeah. Olivia Munn.
Just going to leave out her work for G4?
Yeah, well, you know, we can't include the entire IMDb here. We go to reality TV, Jeffrey. Old Man, Big Hoss, and Chumley are some of the nicknames of the colorful characters of what reality show that is set in Las Vegas? You can steal, though. You can't say Jeffrey misses. You can steal. Old Man, Big Hoss, and Chumley are some of the nicknames of the colorful characters of what reality show that is set in Las Vegas?
Is it? It's one of those two. I'm going to say it's Pawn Stars.
Yes.
Okay.
Lee's that is correct. Lee confirms. Pawn Lee's Stars confirming. Is the correct answer.
What are we up to? Three zip?
Three.
Three zip is the score. Lee, you still have a chance, but you're going to have to throw it into gear here a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like the Grizzlies weren't going to win early last night, exactly. So we'll see here.
Did not look like, around. Yep.
All right, dogs or bugs?
Let's go dogs.
What Harry Potter character escaped Azkaban by transforming into a massive black dog?
That's really a Harry Potter question. It's not a dog question. Don't you think, Jeffrey? Don't you think it's fair to say that's a Harry Potter
question?
I'm not
here to judge.
No, just to crush. You're just here to crush.
I'm here to answer.
All of a sudden, I do 1 week of questions, mm-hmm. and I can all of a sudden I can weigh in on the questions, mm-hmm. you know.
Of course, my wife's going to kill me. She's read all the books 100 times and all the movies, but I do not.
Yeah, all right. Well,
seriously,
Harry Potter first movie came out the same year the Grizzlies started in Memphis.
There you go.
So there you go.
2001.
You already stole. Yeah, you already stole, Jeffrey. Yeah.
Patfoot, Sirius Black.
What's the answer there?
It was Sirius Black. Oh, the massive black dog was Sirius Black. Bugs, Jeffrey. Rocky Mountain spotted fever is a disease that is spread to humans from what little bugs?
Oh, come on, man.
Lee knows all of Jeffrey's questions. Lee would be crushing this game if he just could have Jeffrey's questions. And Lee's going to tell you if you're right or wrong, Jeffrey. That's the thing. You may be winning, but Lee is going to tell you if you got this question right or wrong.
All right. Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God. I mean, the answer I have in my head is wrong because I'm thinking it's Lyme disease. But I'll say fleas.
He's going fleas. Lee, what's the right? Is that the correct answer, Lee?
Okay, well, if I am right, I'm going to steal and
he's
say
gonna
ticks.
He's going to steal. He's stealing and he's saying ticks.
That's right.
I talked myself out of it because I was thinking ticks and Lyme disease.
Oh, 3-1. Look at this. Look at this.
Yes, it is ticks. It is ticks. That is correct. Lee is on the board. Ticks,
I should have just stuck with my gut.
Should have stuck with it. Yeah. Ticks can cause multiple diseases.
Yes.
Back to the final round.
Science or geography? Science or geography?
Geography.
Of the five boroughs in New York City, which is geographically the largest? So geographically the largest of the five boroughs in New York City.
As opposed to ego, the largest. That's different. Or
population.
I was going to say Queens.
What? Queens is what you said? Did you say Queens?
You said Queens. You said
Queens.
Yeah. That is correct. That is correct.
All of a sudden, we got a game. It's 3-2. All because of ticks and fleas. Over to Jeffrey.
In Queens. All right. We've got science for you, Jeffrey. In 1954, the first successful human organ transplant was performed. What organ was it?
What year?
1954. The first successful human organ transplant was performed.
All right. I'm going to say... I'm going to say one of the two in the back. I'm going to say kidney.
Yeah, I'd go kidney. It's the organ that smiles back.
Yeah.
Is it? It is the correct answer. Okay. It is the correct answer.
4-2. And so we're into the final round. But it means it's still up for grabs. Let me see how many Jeffrey's wagering. God.
All right. He's used his steel.
Lee, how many are you wagering?
Both of them, please.
Both? And Jeffrey, is that one finger?
That's one, yeah.
One finger he's holding up. All right, here we go. Here we go.
All right. It is spooky season, so the final round is horror movies. Horror movies. Yay. You want A or B? A or B, Lee? A or B?
Since I picked wrong already, I'll do it again and do B.
Gonna go B. Okay. Christian Bale plays an unhinged investment banker who may or may not be a serial killer in what 2000 film that featured a memorable scene reviewing the career of Huey Lewis in the news?
Oh, shoot. 2000 Christian Bale. Is it American Psycho?
It is American.
Jeffrey knew it. Jeffrey was like, as soon as Jeffrey knew this. God, and now it's 4-4. It all comes down to one question. Oh, no.
For those keeping score at home.
This is a lot like the Grizzlies game, really.
Jeffrey,
don't forget about the long dialogue about Phil Collins too.
Oh yes, so this is, so Jeffrey lost in August. Jeffrey lost in September. He is not yet to lose in October. But if he does, we will have a trend on our hands of Jeffrey losing
at least once
a month here. Jeffrey, your question: horror movies. Memphis's own Kathy Bates portrays an obsessive fan that abducts her favorite writer in what film adaptation of Stephen King?
It's her Misery.
Dang it.
That's correct. Jeffrey wins.
You thought that was an unfair question. Lee, you thought it was too easy. You thought it was a layup. There are no soft questions in this game. But I thought it was an admirable comeback by Lee. Didn't you think, Jeff?
Absolutely.
It was an admirable comeback. Still gets the prize. Take it.
Indeed.
Prizes, all three of them.
All three.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it.
Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
Good game. Kevin, where can people figure out where you're going to be?
Yeah, what a finish there. Yeah, go to CerritoEntertainment.com if you want to celebrate a Halloween, which is a week from tomorrow. You can get going, celebrate the spooky season with us. We got so many different things going on. CerritoEntertainment.com, and you're guaranteed to hear at least one of these questions tonight and at every trivia night around town. You've got an advantage for being a loyal listener here to the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, we got to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union, they have a brand new branch in Arlington, and they have another one in Bartlett. But you can just download the app, and I think you will discover what I have discovered. In a time when you can be kind of fed up with your bank because they're nickel and diming you and they're changing their name 17 different times, and whatever. But Leaders is a place that reminds you what banking is supposed to be, only with better technology. They're incredibly responsive because they are a credit union. They don't have to be paying off their corporate overlords, so they put all their money back into better rates, better service, better technology. So if you're looking for a home loan, if you're looking for a car loan, or maybe you're setting a checking account up for your kid, or whatever it is you need in the world of managing your finances, Leaders Credit Union is there for you. You sometimes think, you know, it's kind of a pain in the neck to change. It's really not that hard to change banks, and you'll find that it is worth it. But you could also just put your toe in by, again, if you have some car loan that you need or home loan that you need or something else, experiment. You'll see what I've discovered, which is Leaders Credit Union is a fabulously easy, efficient, and friendly place to do your banking. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Memphis Tigers obviously play Monday. The Hoops for St. Jude event is coming up Monday. We got a big sports week. We got a massive college football game between Memphis and USF Saturday. And then you got Hoops for St. Jude Monday, John Calipari's return. The Daily Memphian is doing this cool thing where we are counting down the best nine games of the nine-year Calipari era. And today, do you remember the UAB game in 2008? The UAB game, it was February 16th, 2008, and it was the week before 1 vs. 2, right? Between 1 vs. 2. And this was the game, you know, where all hell broke loose. But Memphis was totally, John wrote this.
The one
piece.
In Birmingham, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Less than a minute and a half left, the Tigers trailed 77-70. Like, it was going to totally ruin 1 vs. 2. Joe Webb was the starting quarterback for the Blazers, and he was the ringleader in the student section. It was just wild. And they came back. Antonio Anderson hit a three. CDR hit a three. They're now the Tigers are within one with 38.4 seconds left. By the way, that was the time when that's when you used to have a 35-second shot clock. So they fouled. Robert Vaden goes to the line, makes one of two, and CDR hits. Plus an and one, I guess it was. He finished with 32 points. Anyway,
I just remember the melee,
and then there was a melee afterwards. Exactly, there was a melee because there was a whatever. Read the piece. It was the Pierre Niles slapping the UAB fan. Mm-hmm. It was that game, and it's just fun to relive all this. I'm skimming the piece now and trying
time.
To think about it. It was a simpler time, absolutely. Anyway, it's a fun series. You can read it over at the Daily Memphian. That's the latest, the UAB game, the melee. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They will be joined today by, let's see, it is Thursday. So that will be, so tomorrow's Party Pod, yeah.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Let's see. Today,
it's destined to be great.
Today will be Bennett Doyle. Duh.
It's going to be so
Today's
great.
A Bennett Doyle day.
And wait, I'm on today with, it's Thursday, right?
Yeah, it's Thursday, but I didn't know if you'd switch to Monday.
If I what?
If you'd switch to Monday. I know you've been bouncing around.
No, I'm a fairly
Jeff
semi-reliable
and
Tuesday and Thursday.
Eric Hassan, Jason
anyway,
Smith.
We got to get out of here. Have a great day, everybody. Go Grizz, but we'll be back tomorrow for an hour. Work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.